This is Fresh Air. Usually when I go on vacation, I read books by dead authors so I won't be distracted by thoughts of what I would ask them in an interview. But on my recent vacation, I read a book by the very much alive Lawrence Block, a detective writer who had come highly recommended. I liked the novel so much that in spite of being on vacation, I all too predictably started planning an interview. Well, we recorded the interview earlier today. Block has written close to 10 novels about Matt Scudder, a private eye whose turf is Manhattan. Scudder is a former cop who quit the force after he accidentally shot and killed a teenager. He's left his wife, two kids, and home in the suburbs, and now lives alone in a small, dingy hotel room. The latest Scudder novel was published last year. The one I read on vacation, 8 Million Ways to Die, came out in 1982. This moody novel was a turning point for Scudder. After years of hard drinking, he tries staying sober and joins AA. It's not easy for this cynical loner to feel at home in a support group, as you'll hear in this reading.
I got to the meeting a couple of minutes early. Half a dozen people said hello to me by name. I got some coffee and sat down. The speaker told an abbreviated drinking story and spent most of the time telling of all the things that had happened to him since he got sober 4 years ago. His marriage had broken up, his youngest son had been killed by a hit-and-run driver, he'd gone through a period of extended unemployment and several bad bouts of clinical depression. I wanted to leave at the break. Instead, I got a cup of coffee and took a couple of Fig Newtons. I ate the cookies. It was like chewing straw, but I chewed them and washed them down. During the discussion, one woman got into a long riff about her relationship. She was a pain in the ass. She said the same thing every night. I tuned out. I thought, my name is Matt and I'm an alcoholic. A woman I know got killed last night. She hired me to keep her from getting killed, and I wound up assuring her that she was safe and she believed me. And her killer conned me and I believed him, and she's dead now and there's nothing I can do about it. And it eats at me, and I don't know what to do about that. And there's a bar on every corner and a liquor store on every block. And drinking won't bring her back to life, but neither will staying sober. And why the hell do I have to go through this? Why? I thought, my name is Matt, and I'm an alcoholic, and we sit around in these goddamned rooms and say the same damned things all the time, and meanwhile out there all the animals are killing each other. We say don't drink and go to meetings, and we say the important thing is you're sober, and we say easy does it, and we say one day at a time, and while we natter on like brainwashed zombies, the world is coming to an end. I thought, my name is Matt, and I'm an alcoholic, and I need help. When they got to me, I said, my name is Matt. Thanks for your qualification. I enjoyed it. I think I'll just listen tonight.
Lawrence Block, thanks for reading that passage from 8 Million Ways to Die. You know, having your main character, Matthew Scudder, having given up alcohol creates this intense mood of constant craving for what he can't have. And in 8 Million Ways to Die, life is kind of drained of color and meaning during these periods when he's really craving alcohol. I guess what got you thinking about how you could use that in the novel?
Well, the Matthew Scudder series of books evolved gradually. 8 Million Ways to Die was the fifth book in the series. And in the first three books, he's a hard drinker who doesn't really pay much mind to the effects or implications of his drinking. And when I started writing the books, I fully intended that he would stay like that forever. Most series detectives certainly are static characters. They don't change much. That's always been the case. And I found as the series progressed, the fourth book was called A Stab in the Dark, and in that one he's beginning to see that there's something pathological about his drinking but doesn't really want to look at it. And in 8 Million Ways to Die, that was a pivotal book in which his struggles with his alcoholism and his being forced to come to terms with that are really as much a part of the book as is the solution of a crime.
I find it interesting, you know, that you've taken this character who loves hanging out at bars, and a lot of his sources are at bars, and he even goes to bars after joining AA because that's kind of where he lives. I wonder, well, I should ask you first if you had a problem with alcohol and if you had to give it up and if you're writing out of a first-person knowledge about some of these things.
Well, I don't like to talk about that too much, but I will say that I used to drink rather the way Scudder did, and I don't drink anymore.
Do you still hang out in bars? I mean, is there something about bars that you like very much, in spite of the fact that you can partake of the alcohol?
No, not particularly. My own experience is that bar conversation that may have seemed fascinating and stimulating years ago seemed to require a fairly high blood level of alcohol in order to be all that absorbing.
So why does your character keep going back?
Well, he there's only really one bar that he hangs out at a lot, and that's because of a particular relationship he has with a fellow he met. Yeah, I should probably say that I thought the books were going to end with 8 Million Ways to Die. That seemed to be a catharsis in the character's life, and I thought, gee, there's no place to go after this. His detra has lost its raison. You know, he's still a detective, but you know, let him go get a life on his own time. But it turned out that I liked the character a lot. I liked seeing the world through those particular eyes and all, and I did write further books about it. There have now been, I think the 10th is going to be coming out in September, called A Walk Among the Tombstones.
The neighborhood that is your detective's territory is Manhattan, the upper 50s, the far west side, 9th Avenue, 10th Avenue.
Right.
How did that become your neighborhood as a writer?
Well, I was living there when I first started writing about Scudder. In fact, I was living on the same block, though not in a hotel. I had an apartment on that block and hung out at a lot of the places that he hung out at in the early books, most of which, I might add, are gone now. The neighborhood has changed, and there's been the usual kind of attrition with commercial establishments, so that it's hard to find a lot of Scudder's old haunts.
I used to house at an apartment that was right next door to Polly's Cage, which is a bar,
yes,
that Scudder used to hang out at, and it's now a kind of a cafe restaurant.
Right. It looks very yuppie now. Wasn't it a tacky place?
It was marvelous. So you watch your old neighborhood get gentrified. Do you still live there?
No, I live down in the village.
Uh-huh.
I have for a few years now.
You actually moved out of New York for a couple of years.
Yes, yes.
Why did you leave?
It's hard to remember. It was a vastly failed experiment. We moved down to the Gulf Coast of Florida for a stretch, and we did not transplant well.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Lawrence Block, and he writes the series of detective novels featuring Matthew Scudder, and his latest is called A Dance at the Slaughterhouse. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Writer Lawrence Block is my guest. Let me get back to 8 Million Ways to Die.
Sure.
Again for a second. You know, the main character keeps reading the New York Daily News, and every day there's another really gruesome murder that's taken place that's in the headlines. And that's where the title 8 Million Ways to Die comes
right.
from. Because for each person in New York, there's another way of possibly mm-hmm. being murdered or killed. What's your reaction when you read that stuff in the paper?
Well, it was interesting, and that particular book, when I was writing that, I was living up in Washington Heights at that particular time, and I would do my day's work, and then I would leave the house generally late afternoon, pick up a copy of the news, and get on the subway and ride downtown. And the horrible stories that Scudder dutifully reports each time were the ones that I'd read the night before and that I then would write about. You know, the city never failed to provide heinous atrocities for me to report in the next day's writing. It was quite bizarre.
Yeah, I want to get back to your travels. You've lived in New York, moved to Florida for 2 years. After Florida, I think you just picked up stakes. And you and your wife drove around the country for 2 years.
We spent 2 years living without a fixed address, yes.
And just to give it a sense of structure, I think, you decided to visit every town named Buffalo that you could find in the country. And
yes, we did. I had grown up in Buffalo, New York, and I had discovered in the course of some research for another book that there were more towns named Buffalo than I had realized, that there were indeed about 20 of them. And I said to my wife, we should go to some of these. And my wife, who is at least as deranged as I am, drew herself up very straight and said, I think we should go to all of them. So we began attempting to do that and discovered almost similarly to Heisenberg's uncertainty principle that simply the act of looking for buffaloes caused more to appear. We have now, at this count, we've been to 63 and know of another 20. So the original 20 has grown to somewhere in the 80s, and I have a feeling that this will just go on forever. It's like looking for subatomic particles.
Did this turn out to be a pointless exercise or an interesting one?
A friend of mine, a singer named Tom Bishop, heard the story, and I said, I think it's really pretty pointless. And he said, I don't know, it makes as much sense as golf. So it gave a structure to things. It gave us a reason to turn left rather than right when we got to an intersection, and it facilitated a wonderful rambling couple of years. And we're by no means done. We intend to keep on as long as there's another buffalo.
Do you feel that the detective genre has changed in the years that you've been writing in it?
Yes, I do think so. I think one big change is that the books now tend to be a lot more about the detectives than they used to.
As opposed to about the murder and the plot and the whodunit aspect.
Right. Right. Classic hard-boiled works, for example, we learn very little about Philip Marlowe or Lou Archer or the Continental Op. We know very little about them, and we don't learn more and more as we read additional books, nor do they change. They don't really have a life. This isn't much the case with most of what's being written now. And if one were taking a dim view of this, you could call it the soap operaization of the category, in that readers want to know what happens in the life of the character. And writers seem to be inclined to write that. Certainly, the Scudder novels are about Scudder, just as they're about the solution of a crime.
I think in a lot of ways the crime genre has become the genre that really tries to be about character, a sense of place, and a sense of contemporary life, too, because the detective is always very observant and is observing how people are living today.
I think so. It's somehow had this mantle placed at its disposal because I think so much of contemporary mainstream fiction has become about less and less. Not merely minimalist work, but a lot of books are about themselves or are about writing or are about language rather than being about what books traditionally were about, which was their story and their characters.
A lot of despair in a lot of crime fiction, in part because the detective is often lonely and is exposed to the most brutal aspects of society. And I'd say probably not so much in the more recent stuff, but, you know, Scudder has dealt with his share of despair. There must be something about that kind of mood that you personally respond to.
Oh, sure. I don't always walk along humming, you know. But I think this is a hard world, and most people have a great deal of grief in their lives, you know. And I don't feel it's my mission solely to reflect that in my work, and a lot of my work is quite lighthearted. Certainly, there's a series of books I did about a burglar named Bernie Rodenbaugh, which they're also set in New York, and it's a different New York from the one that that Scudder lives in. The streets are the same, but the feel is different.
Does it ever feel odd to you that the character you've created is always having these life-endangering adventures while you're almost always sitting home and typing?
Well, no, I haven't thought about that much. I suppose in certain respects, Scudder's life is more interesting and dramatic than mine, but otherwise he'd be sitting around writing about me.
Lawrence Block's latest novel is A Dance at the Slaughterhouse. This is Fresh Air.